This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. How good is your soil? Will the seed of faith grow in it? Jesus talked about planting seeds and why sometimes the seed grows and sometimes there is a crop failure. Today we will talk about making your soil better. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from our Florida facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. That is why we have the website gospel2africa.com. We have since expanded to the Philippines, specifically the Greater Manila area, and recently to Europe over the shortwave facility of Reflections Europe, located in Donegal, Republic of Ireland. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.gospel2africa.com/contact. No matter where you live, you may write to us through the postal system to this address. Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio 43558. USA. Our Vision for Christ website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is gospel2africa.com/contact, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/gospel2africa. First of all, I should admit I am not a farmer, never been a farmer or even much of a gardener, so many of you may know more about soil than I do. But my reason for taking on this subject is because Jesus shared a brief talk about the subject of soil as it relates to the human heart, the soul, and how receptive people are to the gospel message, just like soil needs preparation to receive seeds and fruitfully bear a good crop. The parable of the sower, also known as the parable of the four soils, is found in Matthew 13:3-9, also in Mark 4:2-9, and in Luke 8:4-8. Here is the complete passage from Luke 8:4-15. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath, where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see, and when they hear, they won't understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. And again, those are the words of Jesus in Luke 8:4-15. The parable of the sower concerns a sower who scatters seed, which falls on four different types of ground. The hard ground by the wayside prevents the seed from sprouting at all, and the seed becomes nothing more than bird food. The stony ground provides enough soil for the seeds to germinate and begin to grow, but because there is no deepness of earth, the plants do not take root and are soon withered in the sun. The thorny ground allows the seed to grow, but the competing thorns choke the life out of the beneficial plants. The good ground receives the seed and produces much fruit. The explanation Jesus gave of the parable of the sower highlights four different responses to the gospel. The seed is the word of the kingdom. The hard ground represents someone who is hardened by sin. He hears but does not understand the word, and Satan plucks the message away, keeping the heart dull and preventing the word from making an impression. The stony ground pictures a man who professes delight with the word, however his heart is not changed, and when trouble arises, his so-called faith quickly disappears. The thorny ground depicts one who seems to receive the word, but whose heart is full of riches, pleasures, and lusts, the things of this world that take his time and attention away from the word, and he ends up having no time for it. The good ground portrays the one who hears, understands, and receives the word, and then allows the word to accomplish its result in his life. The man represented by the good ground is the only one of the four who is truly saved, because salvation's proof is fruit. Jesus spoke the parable of the sower to teach how important the state of our heart is to receiving the gospel and how our salvation is proved by our choices and actions after hearing the gospel. To summarize the point of the parable of the sower, a man's reception of God's word is determined by the condition of his heart. A secondary lesson would be salvation is more than a superficial, albeit joyful, hearing of the gospel. Someone who is truly saved will go on to prove it. May our faith and our lives exemplify the good soil in the parable of the sower. So how do we make the soil of our life acceptable to grow a good crop of faith? We repent, honestly, sincerely before God. Hard to do? Yes, it is. But when you pray and ask Jesus to send His Holy Spirit to give you the will and the ability to repent, you can do it. In the Bible, the word repent means to change one's mind. The Bible tells us that true repentance will result in a change of actions. Acts 26:20 declares, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. The full biblical definition of repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. Repentance and faith can be understood as two sides of the same coin. It is impossible to place your faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior without first changing your mind about who He is and what He has done. Whether it is repentance from willful rejection or repentance from ignorance or disinterest, it is a change of mind. Biblical repentance in relation to salvation is changing your mind from rejection of Christ to faith in Christ. It is crucially important that we understand repentance is not a work that we do to earn salvation. No one can repent and come to God unless God pulls that person to Himself. See John 6:44. Acts 5:31 and 11:18 indicate that repentance is something God gives. It is only possible because of His grace. No one can repent unless God grants repentance. All of salvation, including repentance and faith, is a result of God drawing us, opening our eyes, and changing our hearts. Repentance, properly defined, is necessary for salvation. Biblical repentance is changing your mind about Jesus Christ and turning to God in faith for salvation. Acts 3:19. In the Old Testament, King David of Israel sinned terribly by committing adultery with the wife of one of his soldiers, and then the king had that soldier killed in battle as part of a cover-up to his sin. Later, when confronted about it, King David repented and recorded his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. Here is that prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep me looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Now, radio friend, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe and have eternal, never-ending life starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Vision for Christ so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done to provide salvation for all people everywhere. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from our Florida facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. That is why we have the website gospel2africa.com. We have since expanded to the Philippines, specifically the Greater Manila area, and recently to Europe over the shortwave facility of Reflections Europe, located in Donegal, Republic of Ireland. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.gospel2africa.com/contact, no matter where you live. You may write to us through the postal system to this address: Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, USA. Our Vision for Christ website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is gospel2africa.com/contact, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/gospel2africa. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor, praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in a loving, intimate relationship. I will leave you today with this text from Ezekiel 36, 25, and 26. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart.